The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
When I was pregnant with Nico, there were a lot of challenges in the pregnancy. And one of them, they had said he had some markers for something where 95% of babies don't make it to their first birthday. And when I actually was able to hold that little one and then just with a renewed sense of what a privilege and gift it is to be able to dream for a little one, these hopes that you have for them.
Naomi Zacharias reveals the events that inspired her to write a book for her son. Next.
Well, you don't have any idea how much fun you're about to have. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to life today. Now, I'm just going to hold up this cute little guy right here. And where will you think that I would get this? Because the first thing I did is take a picture of this sitting on my knee, because that's just the cutest little thing. And you're going to see this book. This is a children's book. Little Prince, Little Prince, what will you be? And it is written by one of the most beautiful friends we've ever had, Robbie Zacharias' daughter, Naomi. And she has three sons and a daughter, but these princes. And the one that's five now inspired this. But Naomi is here, and Naomi would normally have a big crowd, and they'd just all stand. But Betty and I, with all our heart, and with the angelic host, we welcome you to life today. And I got to tell you, Dad is watching, because Dad sat here a lot. He was in this studio a lot, and I think he really liked coming here.
You all meant so much to him. You were so special to him, and you've always been special to me. You've always cared for me with such kindness. And I was telling some of your staff a little bit earlier in those months with my dad, you played such a role that I feel like will forever bond me to you, and I will forever be grateful. We wouldn't have gotten him to Texas without your help. You just moved so quickly when we said we think he needs to come. You got us to Texas that day, and how critical it was for us to get there that day. They actually closed treatment a couple days later, and of course we didn't know that was coming, but you really walked that with us and with me, calling regularly to check on us and just praying with us and grieving with us too. And I am so grateful.
Well, we want to just say thanks to God for your dad and the whole world. Our viewers think your dad is like a New Testament living being right here with us for his entire life. And you know, he sowed so many beautiful seeds, but he sowed a lot of them in his family. You're beautiful girls and just an awesome family, and I just love you, and we're really thrilled you're here. Now, we got to talk about this right here. Now, this little puppy, it didn't really come with the book, but when you open up and you see this beautifully illustrated book, and I'm really anxious to hear why in the world you, with all you've got going, put so much into this. You guys said this little puppy just kind of shows up all through the book. I mean, and did the people that helped you after you published the book find this and say, my goodness? It wasn't created because of the book, was it?
No. So the artist, Mary Eakin, did such a beautiful job with the art, and she had woven that puppy. And so now my son, Nico, who I wrote this for, wants to know where his puppy is. I think both stuffed and real. But Harvest House is the publisher, and they actually found this little stuffed animal that I thought fit so perfectly. So just a few special people got the puppy with the book, and I'm so grateful that it meant something to you. I'll have to tell them they did a good job.
Well, and I wrote a whole book about pets, and we now have little Heidi. She's three. Oh. And what a blessing. I want to ask you, how in the world, I mean, I have four children, you have three little guys. What moved you this direction? Because this is really very simple. It's for a child. What would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Four to 10, something like that,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, and well, so one thing I'll say is it was, so I, it became, it started as a song. I just made it for Nico when I was rocking him to sleep one night when he was just an infant, and the other kids learned the song, so we have sung the song to Nico for years. So in fact, when he saw the book and it was called Little Prince, it's always been called his name, so he was like, where is the Nico book? What's this? So, but I don't know, I kind of joke, because I made it just songs in my head for all of them when they were babies. The others are really short. I don't know why Nico's ended up being like verse upon verse. I don't know if it's because he was like a middle child and I was trying to balance some things out or something. I don't know, but he's got a longer song than everybody else. And so it kind of, then it just became a dream, because could this ever become a book? And I wasn't sure that would become a reality, and I was so thankful to Harvest House for putting some faith in this, because it's probably been just one of the projects just so very special to me, because it was for my son, and I just really wanted to do it for my son to be able to give this to him. So,
who found the illustrator, the artist, Mary?
The publisher did. Harvest House did.
Well, aren't you pleased?
Yes.
With the incredible?
Yes. She did such beautiful art, and it's got that perfect amount of kind of whimsical mm-hmm. to it, but just truly beautiful. So,
let me ask you what kind of response you've had from people who found out you were doing it and some that looked at it. What do you hear?
Well, you know, I think there's something so kind of magical about a children's book. And I think any good children's book or children's movie, it speaks to the adult, honestly, mm-hmm. as much as it speaks to the child, because it speaks to the things in us that we really never grow out of. Mm-hmm. So, like in this book, I think the desire to be known, the desire to be loved, to be championed, we're never too old for that, right? And so you read these children's books and you are wanting to give this message to a little one that means something to you, but it's also reminding you of those things in your own heart and those needs of your own soul too. And so this book, there were really two things that I wanted to communicate to my son through this. And part of it just starts dreaming. When I was pregnant with Nico, there were a lot of challenges in the pregnancy. And one of them, they had said he had some markers for something where 95% of babies don't make it to their first birthday. So when wow. I was pregnant with him, I was just praying and praying for his life. I just wanted his life. And when I actually was able to hold that little one, and then just with a renewed sense of what a privilege and gift it is to be able to dream for a little one, these hopes that you have for them. So part of it is just a mother's dream. Like there's one line, if you are a waiter, I'll eat out every night, I'll order all the specials, I'll swallow every bite. Just, but it really was never about what he did or what occupation he has, but that realization that this child is created in the image of God, a God who has a plan and a story for him, and just wondering about the hundreds, thousands, millions of ways that the Lord might use his particular gifts in a story that was written for him, and being able to bear witness to that. So just being able to dream for him, but that lesson for him of knowing that I don't know all the ways, all the things that God has for you, but he does. And he has a story that is yours and yours alone. But then also wanting him to know that throughout this journey and this very, what is a very complicated thing called life, that he will always have the biggest fan in me, and I will always love him and champion him towards that story God has for him.
Don't you think, I know, being a mother, when you hold that little one, ever how many you have, each one is that special one to you, and you think, God, what are they going to be? What are you going to, how are you going to use them?
Yes.
What's going to be your gifts that you're going to take and use for your honor?
Yep. And when you start to see those, honestly, from such a young age, just the particularities of their personality mm-hmm. and of their giftedness, and just wondering of the many ways that God can use that and will use that. And it is just, it is such an incredible privilege in life. And whether it's a child of your own or one that you have a relationship with, my sister is, you know, the world's most amazing aunt. And even on Mother's Day, my daughter said, she said, you're the best mama in the world, Mom. And she was like, but Zia's the second best mama. So I think just for all of us that we, I think, in depending on how our relationships are, we do all know children, and we do send a message mm-hmm. to them. We influence the way that they see the world and the way they see the value of their life and what they may hope to be or dream to be.
Did Did your dad know you were doing a children's book?
He did. And, you know, when it came, the book arrived, because, you know, of course, the publishing takes time.
Sure.
So I had given them the manuscript, which a children's manuscript is much easier to send off than a real book manuscript, but probably a year before it was finished. And so the book actually arrived at the house maybe 6 weeks after we lost him. And I wasn't actually expecting it. And when I opened it and realized what it was, my first thought was like to run inside, and I couldn't wait to show my dad. And then, of course, you know, that awareness
Sure.
came back that I couldn't do that. But my dad was just the most amazing grandfather. My children call him Papa. And one of the things that I feel like he has left with them is, you know, my dad traveled so often. He was on the road so much. Somebody wrote me recently and said, like, you know, was it just his presence that had the impact that it did on you all as his father and as a grandfather? And I said, it's really more than that, because, you know, the presence has to be inherently good, right? Mm-hmm. If your presence is bad or unhealthy, it's not actually life-giving to people. But he was on the road so much. And yet for my four little children, he left such a powerful mark on their lives. My 2.5-year-old yesterday just said, Mama, I miss Papa.
Aww.
I miss Papa. His goodness and the love that he showed to those children, the character that he modeled for them, is just amazing, the impression that it made even on little ones.
Boy, praise God. I want to say to all of you, and I really mean this, I wish you'd go online, go to Amazon or wherever you want to go, all the people that have the online distribution. Consider getting this for everyone you know in the family that has a child that they might sit down with, because I promise you the illustrations, the simplicity, the stories, the inspiration. There's that little puppy sitting on his head. There's this, you know, we have a little water feature out behind the house, and we've got a little slider. Turtle.
Okay.
That is when our grandson. Yeah, it's the cutest thing. We just let him. And he actually knows when we walk out and comes swimming. Just this little bitty legs across the park. I said, Betty knows your voice, I think.
Yeah, that's
he comes
that
just
I can
to
handle,
see us.
I think. Yeah.
But my grandson said, oh, we got another Shelton. He said, we had Shelton 1, Shelton 2, Shelton 3. I remember that I took these little turtle, these little sliders, to them when they were little, and they would put them in a little aquarium and raise them. And they had that many of them. I said, well, now we got Shelton 5.
Wow.
So we talked to him. But, you know, when you go through the book and you just see the inspiration, I want to ask you to do something. I want you to do something for the children you love and for people who you want to bless their children. Get copies online and give them to somebody to bless their child with. And I'd love to send you one. You know, Naomi, you realize, and of course, your dad was a great encourager of everything we did, and I think we encouraged him in everything he did. And we did a lot together. But we both went all over the world. We went to the least of these and the overlooked and the downtrodden and to the trafficked. And we've been setting people free. We've been drilling thousands of water wells and feeding hundreds of thousands of children every week, setting literally thousands of girls free from sexual trafficking. And that's what we're doing right now. We're asking people to help us reach, rescue, and restore those who are trafficked. We head a lot of them off at the places they're going to be taken captive. Mm-hmm. We've learned how to do that. You've been involved in this. Mm-hmm. Tell our viewers how important it is that they support this, and then tell them how they can find out about what you're doing in case they want to step over there and join with you on some of the outreaches.
Yeah, human trafficking, I really think, is one of the most important issues facing our time. And when Wellspring, that's the humanitarian arm of RZIM and the arm that I serve as director for, so when we started in 2004, I feel like even since then, we hear so much more about trafficking now than we did then. The awareness has grown, and yet we're still seeing the numbers go up each year. And so I really think human trafficking is ultimately an issue of the human heart. And so as long as we are dealing with the sin of the human heart, we are going to be dealing with an issue like this, because it is about the exploitation of a human being. And, you know, you have these quotes of, you know, pimps and underground people who have said things like, you know, a gun you can sell once, but a human being you can sell over and over again.
Wow.
When we're looking at that kind of world and that kind of mentality where people see somebody else as a means to an end, this is what a result of that is going to be. And so the importance of us advocating for those who have been caught in this slavery and for the protection of those trying to prevent some from ever knowing its horrible clutches, I think is such a tremendous issue for our time. One of the things, you guys have probably seen this too, but at Wellspring, we've been hearing from some of the programs we work with COVID, some of the brothels have been closing down at various points around the world. And that's interesting because I've never seen that before, even with HIV. You've never seen them close down brothels for that reason. But there's a part of you then when you hear that and you think, oh, that's a good thing. That must be good. And yes, there is a side to that, obviously, when the brothels are shut down and it's not happening there. But I think we need to realize, too, these kinds of activities tend to flourish no matter what's happening with the economy. It just means that for some of the women that were working in the brothels, they're now homeless. In some ways, they're now more vulnerable than they were before because these things are happening on a more underground level. And so the need for us to still stand up, to participate, to advocate, to help support these programs that are bringing freedom for so many and preventing slavery for so many is more critically important now than it ever has been before.
And a lot of times when they quit doing the work in the brothel, they'll start actually peddling drugs themselves.
Yeah, and you know,
promoting it and selling it and spreading that.
So. Yes, and you know, I remember one time in India, and I've never forgotten, and it was a brothel madam, because many times it's a woman who's working in the brothel, and you sometimes wonder, how is she doing this to other women? And it's not just women now, too. There are a lot of men. There are a lot of younger children, both girls and boys. But I remember one of the women, when we walked in there, she looked at me, and she is the brothel madam, and she said, why should I let you help them? Where were you when I was them?
Wow.
And just that reminder that for so many that are actually working on that side of trafficking, yes, they too have their story. Mm-hmm. I don't think somebody would just wake up one day and decide they're going to sell another human being. Mm-hmm. So what happened along the way? You know, we like for there to be a victim and there's a perpetrator, but so often the perpetrator was at one time a victim.
Mm-hmm. Naomi, you are a tremendous blessing. And I want to repeat, this is online. In the bookstores, it'll bless children like you can't believe because you can help the little prince know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and begin that process at a very young age. I think, you know, I said that you help us rescue and literally reach out to these who are trafficked, and we're going to send you a thank you if you help us help them. Natural Remedies. This is amazing to help us build our resistance. And there is a prayer box that's beautiful to put your prayer requests in. Now, here's what I want you to know. We can reach, rescue, and restore someone who's trafficked. And in the third world, the dollar goes a long way. $128 makes that happen for one. Viewers like you said, I tell you what, it's so important. We'll match what they do. You make a $128 gift, it's double. You help two. I ask people to give big, Betty. I like people to think big when it comes to Kingdom Impact. $1,280 reaches 10. Oh, now 20. I want you to watch this. You're going to be moved, but the thing you've got to understand is the problem you see, you're the solution. You're the answer to the need. You're the miracle that is needed to deal with this. Watch.
In rooms hidden out of sight from most people is a world filled with young girls. Girls who became entangled in a web known as sex trafficking. Most of them set out to find legitimate work in hopes of bettering their lives, only to end up being taken captive by a sex predator. Sheila tells what happened to one young girl she met.
This girl, who is now 15, started going out when she was 12, 13. Thought she was going with a friend to get a job, you know. I'll try and do whatever I can to provide for my brothers and sisters. And she thought she was going to be like a waitress. And when she went into the place, they offered her food, which seemed really compassionate and kind, but the food was drugged. And She lost consciousness, and when she came to, she was in a small, locked room with a man. She was naked, and she realized that for the first time in her life that she had been raped. What is she supposed to do?
The evil of human trafficking is driven by the fact it's a multi-billion dollar industry. The real tragedy is the resulting physical and emotional scars inflicted on millions of young girls and children.
Let's decide enough. Let's just say enough. We will rise up and we will change this and we will do it because our whole thing here at Life is reach, rescue, restore. The value that God places on their life is not diminished by what they have to do every night. And because of that, we get to tell them, you are not a number. You are a name, and God knows your name. And we're coming in His name to let you know. Time is coming for you to be free.
Boy, Naomi, when you see that beautiful girl, God, she's beautiful. What happens inside?
I was looking at her face and I was thinking, no matter how many times you hear a story like this or see a face, whether you're standing in front of her or looking at an image on a screen, it never gets easier and it never loses its impact. I think because you realize that what has been done to her, the violation is so tremendous, and that while there is the potential for rescue and freedom, she will have to live with the wounds of that for the rest of her life and just the reality of the pain and suffering of that. At the same time, when I was listening to Sheila talk too, I just think this is honestly like one of the most beautiful messages that the Christian gospel has. You know, you don't have to be a Christian to go out and take a stand against trafficking. You could not believe in God and still want to advocate for that right. little girl. But I think what you do have with the Christian message is you have the reason why. It's only with the Christian message where you have the ought, why any one of us ought to do this, why what was done to her was wrong, was a violation of actually the image of God Himself, but also why, as horrific as that is what would happen to her, it cannot diminish her even a tiny bit because she was made in the image of God and nothing and no one can take that away from her.
She can be rescued and restored because love never fails. Betty, what do you want our viewers to consider as we ask them to help us rescue them?
Well, you know, I agree with you, Naomi, that it's never easy to watch. It doesn't get any easier to see those precious, precious girls being treated as they're treating, being lied to, hopeful that they might be getting a job to help their family, and then they're drugged and they're taken to these places that they might never see, not ever see their family again. And just all the hopelessness they feel. But I'm so grateful that because of Life Outreach and so many other ministries that have reached out and helped and cared, that we can do something about it. We can get to these precious little ones before they get to where they're taken and their bodies are abused and their hearts and minds are just torn apart and fear sets in. You can join us in that. Please, right now, join with us and let's say, let's make that difference for these precious children.
Well, you can actually help us rescue them. Mm-hmm. In the very areas where the traffickers normally take them captive. And we've really got watchmen more than on the wall. They're right in the setting, the scene, and they're able to get them before they get trafficked. But then after they're trafficked now, because of your faithful help over the years, when we do reach one and get them out, we've got compounds now in various areas that are secure where they can't get them back. You have reached out because of your love. Betty, I'm telling you, the viewers of Life today are the most beautiful expressions of God's love I've seen anywhere on this planet. If you would reach out right now, go get a bank card and use it like a check. You write a check and make it to Life because that's what you're sharing. But go get the card or get the check, make the check. If you can give $128, it'll rescue one. That's the average cost. Listen to me. It'll be doubled because it's going to be matched. $1,280 to rescue 10 will now rescue 20. So would you go get your bank card, go online, make the gift now, or dial the number and use it. If you do write a check, call the number and tell us you're putting it in the mail. And then please do so. And remember, we've got some gifts to send you to bless you, and they will. They really will. Could save your life because of what it'll do for your ability to resist disease. And God knows we need that ability. It's built into us if we enhance it and strengthen it. We want to help do that. Also, Naomi's book that she's written for her little prince and a prince somewhere in your life. Would you please right now make that gift? Thank you so much for doing it. Thank you.
Behind the bright lights, there is a darkness where a world of innocence is lost and abuse runs rampant, scarring the souls of children with no one and nowhere to turn for help. With bodies broken and hopes crushed, these young victims are trapped in a never-ending nightmare. Today, you can shine the light of God's love in this dark world to reach, rescue, and restore these young ones to the life God designed for them to live. With a generous $250,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking, and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated and essential book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation. A valuable reference with biblical insight to help you live your best life. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive this beautiful prayer box. Inscribed with the words from Philippians 4:6, this wonderful keepsake includes pencil and paper to write down prayer requests you want to give to God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request a Mother Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
There's no question that God's given us remedies, and so much of it is what we eat and the nutrition. Gifts for you. Naomi's going to be back with us. We're going to talk about Little Princess, but we're going to talk about what Dad left behind. Because, boy, did Dad make some great deposits in your life right here on Life Today. So, Naomi, Betty, and I say what our whole audience would say if we could get them in here and not have someone tell us we're stretching it, because we really are trying to guard and protect everybody. But we want you to know that you are a great blessing, and look forward to talking to you again. And I do want to talk about not only what Robbie left all of us, but what you saw and what you know he wants to be happening. God bless you.
Thank you so much
for watching. Don't miss the next program. We're going to talk to Naomi.
They made you sweat to the heavens and pull yourself away from the devil. They asked for everything. You made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your father, the one who helped you see, won't leave you recklessly.
Introducing the new Stream app for Apple and Android phones with special app-only features to customize your user experience. Search for the Stream News and download it today.
You know, my dad lived an extraordinary life, and I am so thankful for the legacy he gave.
Naomi Zacharias, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.